My guest in the studio today is Cecilia Rokusek from the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids. Welcome to the studio, Cecilia.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Could you begin by telling me when the museum and library, when it was established and what purpose it serves?
It's the National Czech and Slovak Museum for the United States, and it was established by a group of visionaries in 1974 who wanted to really preserve and celebrate the Czech and Slovak culture that was established in the United States. And they, this early group of visionaries built a very small museum, took an old building, and in 1995, a brand new structure was built, and it was dedicated by our President Havel, President Clinton, and President Kovach. All three of them came to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where our museum is in the central heart of America, and they dedicated a beautiful museum. In 2008, the museum was almost partially fully destroyed by a flood, a significant flood. It took 4 years to rebuild, and they literally moved the entire structure across the street to higher ground and almost doubled the size of the museum. So now, as a result of the flood, we are really bigger and stronger.
How close-knit is the Czech and Slovak community in Cedar Rapids?
Well, actually, if we look at the historical sort of development of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, about 100 years ago, about 28% of the population was of Czech ancestry or Czech settlers. More Czechs settled in there in that area than Slovaks, because if we look at the migration or immigration of Czechs and Slovaks to America, we'll see that most of the Czechs came to the middle heartland of America, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and the majority, the highest number of Czechs currently are in Texas. So we have a large population in Texas, whereas the Slovaks, some settled in Chicago, like the Czechs, some settled in Cleveland. We have a large population there, but a number settled in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So really in the heartland, we probably have a bigger imprint of Czechs, but there's still the Slovak influence because at one time, of course, we were Czechoslovakia.
Do you have annual events to get them together and...
Oh, the museum has mm-hmm. events all throughout the year because we are now an affiliate of the Smithsonian Institute, which is really a significant distinction for us. And we do have many events. If you look at our calendar, each week we probably have 3 to 4 events a week for the museum and for the community. And we celebrate both the Czech and Slovak cultures. So, for example, now if you were to come to the museum, we have a large permanent exhibit that is really a celebration of the Czech and Slovak story, its stories of immigration and our history and culture. But then we have 3 smaller galleries that rotate. So one of our galleries, for example, right now is a celebration of Slovak lullabies. So we have infants in Kroj, which is our native folkwear from Slovakia, and they are 10 days old, these infants. It's beautiful. And then in another gallery, we have an exhibit of Czech calligraphy by some artists that were of Czech descent, and they did some beautiful paintings as well as calligraphy. And then in another room, we have the 89 exhibit, which is a 6-month exhibit, Revolution 1989, which really commemorates the revolution in 89, what we call the peaceful revolution, where nonviolent aggression, if we want to say, really made an impact in the world. And so we celebrate that. But we have a lot of education programs. One of our biggest, I think, priorities for the future is to focus on education for all ages, to know what Czechs and Slovaks contributed to America, so we can not only celebrate and preserve the past, but create a future where people know that for all cultures.
What I meant was events outside of the museum, open air events, just to you know, boost this feeling of togetherness.
Absolutely. We just celebrated Hobie Days. And so Hobie Days was a 3-day outdoor celebration of dancing, talking about mushrooms and talking about Czech food and Slovak food. Then we'll have a summer fest, an outside summer fest in July. We also have a music fest coming up. And then in the fall, we have a huge outside called Brunost Festival. So it's a combination of sort of an Oktoberfest as well as, but we serve, Czech and Slovak food. And of course, we have lots of beer, etc.
Most of you are second, third, fourth generation Czechs. How important is it for you to stay in touch with your roots?
Speaking as a fourth generation Czechoslovak, it's extremely important. I think that especially two things have contributed to that in the United States, I think. Number one is that people are really getting into the genetic, like the ancestry DNA, the where they can send in to analyze their ancestry. So that's really important. And I think people are finding out that they have Czechoslovak heritage and didn't even realize it. So that's one thing. And I think the other thing is that there's just more of an awareness now to your own individual family history. And people are looking into genealogy more now. They're looking into, you know, finding out where to, even if they don't do the testing, they're more interested to know where their great-grandparents came from. And it's an interesting phenomena right now in that I think we're finding a lot of what I call first-generation Czechs and Slovaks that come to America. They're less likely to be so involved in this cultural sort of renewal like the second, third, fourth, and even fifth generation we're seeing, where they'll say my great-great-great-grandparents were of Czech descent or Slovak descent.
When you organize exhibitions and things, what are the things, the main topics that you know they're going to latch onto? What is the main area of interest? Is it Czech culture they become interested in when they start sort of digging into the roots, and or is it Czech history, the years of the First Republic, Masaryk? What kind of things do you focus on? You mentioned regional costumes.
I think it's a combination of things. I don't think you can really say it's one thing. I think it's really a combination of things that individuals have. And as for the museum, we plan our programs 2 to 3 years out. And so we try to look at certainly, number one, significant dates in history, like with the revolution with 1918 last year. So we try to look at history. But cultural preservation is always there. And I think that question is an important one right now, because I think for ethnic museums like ours or cultural museums, we have to find a balance in creating what I always say, cherishing and preserving the history, but also bringing it in the context of what's relevant today, the lessons learned from history, how is it applying to culture today, and finding a place to teach what our Czech and Slovak culture brings to other people and other nationalities. And we're certainly looking at music, and Dvořák spent a great deal of time in Spillville, Iowa, which is not far from us, and the influence of that region to his music, and also his influence from meeting some of the African-American population. Your question opens up a whole door in that we're not just about culture and cultural preservation or history, but we're about relevance and preserving what the Czechs and Slovaks have done, and also looking to the future. What are we doing now as Czechs and Slovaks to contribute to society?
You have a permanent exhibition called Faces of Freedom. What is that about?
Faces of Freedom talks about the immigrant story. It talks about the journey to America. We also talk about sort of the journey on the ship. We have a model ship there where people can actually experience what it was like to in small quarters to travel over. We have examples throughout that period because, you know, there were what I call phases of immigration to America. Some, like, for example, my great-great-grandparents immigrated in the 1800s. And then we had immigrants in the early 1900s. And then certainly we had immigrants after World War II. And we have current immigrants. So Faces of Freedom really traces, as I would say, the immigrant story to America, which is past and current as well.
This year we're marking 30 years since the Velvet Revolution.
Yes.
How are you marking it? You have a special exhibition.
We have a special exhibit called Revolution 1989, and we have artifacts, films, we have a number of pictures, we have a number of posters, we have a number of actually memorabilia that people have contributed or loaned to us. So we have programs for students. We have programs for adults where we actually talk about freedom, where we talk about democracy, and what we talk about gentle aggression and what that means, and what people, how people through dialogue and through working together can actually overthrow something that at one time may have seemed impossible. So we're bringing that, and I think probably the most poignant example of that that I can give you is that the students, we educate a number, over thousands of students a year come to the museum. We worked with two high schools to build a Berlin Wall. And the students actually designed it with architects. And then in November, we will take it down. And students are painting on the wall, just like they did. We call that street art. And talking about what one side of the wall had on it and what the other side didn't have on it. And so we're trying to take the lessons learned of 1989 and apply them to contemporary times.
Do you remember the days, the heady days of the Velvet Revolution? How did you experience them from the United States?
You know, it's interesting. As a person at that time working in academics and a professor in academics, I remember it very clearly in my parents and grandparents telling me that everything, I'll use it, Všetko bude dobrý teď kon v Čechách. Everything will be okay now. It's my parents and my grandparents never came to Prague or to the Czech Republic until after that. They never did come here. So I think for them, it was like opening the door. And I recall my parents saying, we're going to go to the Czech Republic now.
And you came.
We did. We came in 1991.
What was it like?
Well, it was amazing. I remember driving. We rented a car in Germany, and we crossed the border, and was kind of afraid. And my dad couldn't wait to talk to the guards. At that time, you still had to cross the border. And he couldn't wait to talk to the guards in Czech. He was so excited. And we got to Prague, and all we could do was just look. We were mesmerized by, you know, the beauty. And we stayed with relatives outside of Prague. And it was mesmerizing is the only thing I can say. It was mesmerizing. And we would take the metro into town each day. And it was still 91, was still just developing, you know, into the society we know today here. But and since then, we've been back every year several times.
How did Czechs and Slovaks in Cedar Rapids in the United States experience the breakup of Czechoslovakia in 1993?
You know, that's a question I get asked a lot. And I think that it's what I experience here. They love each other. I mean, the Czechs and Slovaks, at least in the United States, they all seem like brothers and sisters. You don't, because they always, many of them refer to the days of Czechoslovakia. So I think they have the national pride of I'm a Slovak or I'm a Czech. But I really think that they see each other as real comrades and real, I should probably use the word comrades, but real friends and colleagues. They see each other separate, but as really being together in spirit, I believe. And I think they take the lessons learned from, say, Yugoslavia, where maybe things didn't break up so easily, where here they did. And, you know, the National Czech and Slovak Museum in Cedar Rapids is a place where they come together. And I really see them coming together for all events. If we have a Czech event, the Slovaks come and vice versa. So, and we try at the museum to balance our programming so that people do learn that if there are differences, there are certainly some differences. And so we try to educate people, too.
Do you keep abreast of events and developments in the Czech Republic today? Do you follow what's going on?
Oh, absolutely, all the time. We have, I have a very outstanding staff that keep, I do as well, but they keep track of it very, very much.
Do you feel that the Czech Republic has made good of the opportunities that opened up, re-embracing freedom and democracy?
Absolutely. We're a sterling example of it, I think, yeah, up to the current times. We're a very good example of it. And I think just the, you know, the Czechs have a very strong history, I believe, in sort of what I would call the Havel philosophy. They continue to sort of to permeate that in their actions, and I think you see that still.
What are your hopes for the library and museum if you look way into the future? Like 50 years from now, will there still be a need for it? Will there still be a community interested?
Absolutely. If I look, that's a great question. And I think that if I look at the National Czech and Slovak Museum now, our greatest potential is the future. Museums have changed a great deal. The museum challenge for the future is this. We have to make sure that our footprints, i.e. the Czech and Slovak footprints, are never forgotten, and that we continue to monitor even into the current times and what that means and what we can learn from that. So that it's a Czech and Slovak story, but we have still a lot to learn from the past, and I think the future will open up new doors and new opportunities. Museums today are education institutions, and I think certainly we want to work with our National Museum here in Prague and our National Museum in Bratislava, and we have to not forget what those its contributions are. It's too easy, especially for Americans, and maybe for all cultures, but I know Americans the best, to forget. and we cannot forget. And I think that so for the next 50 years, I hope that we'll be stronger and even bigger, and that we would be able to continue to teach for all generations the lessons that we celebrate those times in history that Czechs and Slovaks made a huge difference and impact and will continue to make an impact. I think that's the critical. We are continuing to make an impact. And I think that we need to teach that in the lessons learned for all generations. So I hope that we will have even more space and that we will be even bigger, and that, you know, the success of our museum and library is certainly dependent on Czechs and Slovaks, but it's also dependent upon other cultures who come to visit us.
Cecilia, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for your good work and for coming to the studio.
My pleasure.